May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 403. Come, every gracious heart that loves the Saviour's name, your noblest powers exert to celebrate his fame. Tell all who fear the Lord below, the debt of love to him you owe. Hymn 403.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, followed by the first chapter in the first Epistle, General Peter. Our first reading is the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We will now turn to the first epistle general of Peter and read the first chapter. The first epistle general of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see ye that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Lord bless those portions of his holy word and help us in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we seek now to approach unto thee in this manner of our worship, as we come together and seek unitedly to seek thy face. Oh, that we may, each one of us, be given that sense unto whom we are approaching. For thou art holy, and thou dost dwell in the heavens. Thy omniscient eye sees us exactly as we are. We cannot hide anything from thee, neither can we deceive thee. We may deceive ourselves, we may deceive others, but thou seest, Lord, through and through. And oh, that thou wilt not deal with us according to our sin and our iniquity, but oh, remove, we pray, from our hearts hypocrisy and lying and all such things which would bring a shame upon thy holy name. But grant, O Lord, that in simplicity and humility, as seeking the Lord as our only hope, thou who art over all, the King of kings and Lord of lords, may we therefore fall at thy feet, fear as nothing in ourselves, and may we have a faith view of the fullness that there is in Christ to redeem lost sinners, even the worst, from their iniquity, that thou mayest snatch us from hell, a brand plucked from the burning of all our just deserts, to be brought into thy presence, to know the fullness of that mercy. Oh, mercy, we plead. It is thy mercy that can save us, and thou hast redeemed us through blood. If thy mercy is poured forth upon us, for what has been done for thy people, that cannot be undone, either by Satan or all his hellish host, nor by man, nor by our sins, our shortcomings. But what thou hast done in the saving of thy people, it is done forever. We therefore would bless thy name, if thou hast brought us to know that salvation through grace and to have a humble hope in and then through that mercy that we are as babes in Christ, as children of our Heavenly King, as those who are tending upward to the inheritance which is laid up for thy people, and an inheritance that never fadeth, but abides forever. So may we find there are those occasions, may they be the more frequent, particularly as we may near our dying moment, not knowing when that may be. We know that as age creeps on, so it must be nearer. We are nearer, as has been observed, than when we first believed. But, O Lord, we nonetheless need that preparation. And we read that the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Therefore, Lord, speak, we pray. Be not silent unto us. Be not silent unto me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. But, oh, we pray, Lord, that through that communication, the word being applied to our heart by the Holy Spirit, and that word reading us, for as we may so read, so may we run. Or we pray then that we may be found in the race, and that laying aside the weights and the sins that do so easily beset us, so to run the race. And Lord, we pray that we may look alone to our forerunner, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has for us entered, so that we shall come at last and enter in. Lord, we pray then that though the portals of death may bring much fear and trembling, yet it be the entrance into glory. And therefore, Lord, death may lose its sting, may not have its fearful effect, of which we may dread. For, Lord, how solemn to come to the gate, the heavenly gate, and there to be cast away, cast into the lake of fire. Lord, we do pray that we may find these things, solemnize our minds, give us much exercise to prayer, and that we may not cease in wrestling until the sweet seal that the Spirit gives, a true earnest of that which is of heaven, be felt in our own souls. We do, Lord, pray that there would stir up those that are in slothfulness, and bring them to a lively concern. Do, Lord, come to the fearful and strengthen them, that they may know that there is that laid up for them. And therefore, what have they cause to fear? Yet so often we confess we are as creatures of fear, and we drag along, and fear where no fear is. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant those tokens for good, and the evidences of thy love and mercy. We do pray that thou wilt be mindful of thy people here, we commend them to thee. We do desire that they may know the blessing of the Lord. And even this night, as we are gathered together, we do, Lord, pray that there may be that done to thy honour and glory. We pray, Lord, that they will go before each in their way. Lord, thou knowest all the trials that they may experience, afflictions and troubles that come, perhaps as waves or billows that roll over their head, they feel submersed in those things, cannot rise above them, but thou, O Lord, canst deliver them, and thou hast delivered and wilt yet deliver those that fear thy name. So, Lord, we pray that they may prove it. We also do pray for those not able to gather on this occasion. Lord, we notice that there are those that may have their course of life, and some are detained because of their business appointments. Some may be removed from home for a season. Some, Lord, may be in sickness. We may not know, but thou knowest. Lord, some are detained because of their parental responsibilities, and we will commend them, and therefore we commend the children also into thy gracious hands. Lord, what a world they are being brought into, what a world they may grow up into, and what may they see and witness. Lord, we tremble, knowing that in our lifetime there has been a most awful, solemn decline in following after thee, in seeking to govern ourselves and our land by the scripture. Lord, men have departed from it, turned away from it, denounced it, denied it, and they deny also even that there is a God, but they will not be mocked. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What shall our nation reap, Lord? Oh, we wonder whether we are reaping those things even now, with all the chaos and turmoil that there is in our parliament. Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear. Lord, thou canst even appear in the judgments that are made, and whether what has been done is right or wrong. Lord, we pray that thou wilt, for thy little remnant's sake, yet work that work and deliver us from those that may seek to remove from us our sovereignty, and those that would undermine our right as a nation to rule in our own land that have been appointed, Lord, as the people may thus vote, but not then to be overruled by other authorities which are not of us. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt maintain our Queen and grant her, Lord, thy mercy. Oh, there's much that needs pardoning, but, Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear and show her that she needs a God of mercy. Lord, we pray that thou wilt therefore arise for our help. Do, Lord, have mercy upon all thy people. We remember the bereaved, those that are scattered abroad the earth, but fear thy name. We would remember those, Lord, where there are but two or three, that may be even gathered this night, yet do bless them in their gathering. We would pray for thy servants that labour, and may they labour not in vain, as they sometimes may fear, but prove that the word may have had free course, bringing honour and glory to thy name. And now, Lord, what wait we for? We wait upon thee. We seek thy blessing. We pray for the pardon of all that we may have uttered amiss and our many, many sins. So we ask these things in and through the precious name and blood and merits of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 157. Mourning souls, by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me. I'll direct your attention to words you will find in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 10, and reading the 22nd verse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The book of the Proverbs, chapter 10, and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, as is stated at the beginning of this chapter. Solomon was a wise man, taught of God, though he found how foolish his heart was, and how he could be provoked and drawn aside by foolish men, by foolish women. But the Lord nonetheless humbled him and brought him to experience the reality of God's blessing. And therefore he would seek to instruct one that he speaks of as my son, to instruct such in the things of life, that there are those wicked that walk in their wickedness. There are those that are righteous, and they are made so, not by anything of their own doing, but according to the rich mercy of God. There are those that are wise, and they seek after wisdom. Those that are just and walk according to the things that are just. But there are those that walk in the ways of evil, turn from God, and so they walk in the way of destruction. And such is the case of all the fallen race, except there be that mercy evidenced unto whom God will reveal it. The just deserts of sin are plainly seen. We deserve that endless misery which is poured out upon the wicked. We deserve that punishment for our sin, even damnation. We deserve the anger of God to be poured out upon us, and to be left to our own wretchedness and misery through that separation, separated wholly from God. To know the burnings of that flame which cannot be quenched. Well, these are solemn things. And so God, according to the very nature of his holiness, for he cannot look upon sin with any approval, must therefore deal with those that are found as sinners. But the Lord, out of that essential nature of eternal love, wherein mercy is displayed, mercy is poured forth upon the people who are the subjects of that mercy, not because of any good that is found in themselves, not because they can evidence any merit that may please a God so holy, holy, holy as he is, but one who may grant the fullness of his grace, that grace which comes by Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and of his grace have each we received. Oh, that is indeed the true of those that are in Christ, those that were in Christ before time began. And here we may find in the first place the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. And we will consider therefore this blessing of the Lord, and then to consider what it makes us. It makes rich, and also what it does not give to us. It does not add sorrow. But in the first place, the blessing of the Lord. It is the blessing. And therefore, we do consider that the blessing, it is one glorious blessing that is realized in that unspeakable gift, the gift of the dear Son of God, whom the Father sent into the world. And this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And perhaps the apostle would have thought, well, that must leave me out. I'm the greatest of sinners. Not worthy to be an apostle. One who went about sought to hail men and women to prison for their faith, their belief. One who did many things against the name of Jesus Christ. The one whom the Father sent. Can there be any hope for me? Yet he can continue and say, of whom I am chief. When we come to know the greatness of our sins by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, when we are convinced that we are altogether black, that there is no soundness to be found in us, that we only deserve the punishment due unto men, as we have thus spoken already, then what a blessing it is that God should send his Son for an unworthy sinner as you or me. But the blessing of the Lord, and it is he that can bring about a deliverance from under the power of sin, deliverance from the sentence that is put forth against to be pronounced upon the sin of the sinner, and to deliver us from a godless world. And from the great enemy of our soul, Satan, and from a deserved hell. Well then, the blessing of the Lord, God sending his own dear Son. But as we have already intimated, and as was plain in our readings, so the blessing of the Lord, it begins before time began. We find that it was in the purpose of God that we should be blessed. Blessed. And so in writing to those Ephesians, those that Paul did discern were such that had received the blessing of God. Those that Peter wrote to, the strangers scattered, persecuted, yet they were to know the rich blessing that they received these things through the purpose and predestinating purpose of God. So we find that first Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ah, then, he that has begotten us again unto such a lively hope, it is in love, that he should put that love into our hearts, that we might love him. We know old nature, it hates such a one. Away with this man, we will not have him to rule over us. That is the expression of the old nature. But how that old nature, if the Holy Spirit has done anything, it has brought us to know our need. We've had to fall before him and cry for mercy, the mercy which he bestows upon those that were chosen in Christ. He who would form a people for his praise, that they may be brought to praise him because of the wonders of that infinite love to a vile, unworthy sinner. Oh, the love of God, the love of Christ, it now has constraining power. That is what will bring us to run in the way of his commandments. That is what will give us a desire to know that law of liberty. The law of liberty, it rejoices in the commandment that we receive of him. There should have no other gods beside me. Once we sought after many gods of our own imagination, and still we find our old self would quickly bow down to them, as Israel did, though they saw the conspicuous mighty arm of God bringing them out of Egypt and from under the powers and gods of Egypt. But how quickly they return to idolatry. Oh, our sinful heart, that would raise up something above the God whom we profess to love. And if we should think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, then we sin. We set ourselves up therefore think more of self than him. How it is, though, the Lord's long-suffering. Oh, how long-suffering he is. We may come to those places where we marvel that the Lord has not cast us off, but still, he grants us goodness and mercy to follow us.
And we may then join with David and say, all the days of my life, God's goodness, God's grace, excels, exceeds all our sin and deficiency and lack. Therefore, here is the blessing of the Lord. What blessing it is! Marvelous blessing that he grants unto his people. For the blessing of the Lord, it is to be seen in that work which was accomplished. The work, first of all, we would speak of that work of the Spirit that quickens us, makes us alive, brings us to a knowledge of our great need. Where that work of God's grace is wrought, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of life. It was the blessing of the Lord that did give us natural life, that we may be found as those living, so that then we may know what it is to be born again. There can be no second birth without the first. But the Lord has so appointed. He has appointed our first, and therefore also appointed our second birth, if it is according to his counsel. Oh, how humbling then it is, knowing that we were able to do nothing in the bringing of ourselves into this world, and that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But we could do nothing either in our spiritual birth. It was the work of God alone. It is the Spirit, as we read, the Spirit did so, as we have it in creation. The word goes from me. How that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. So he moved upon the waters of our soul to bring that life about, and to bring also that a work of his grace which separates us from what we once were to what he now makes us. And you know the words of the apostle. Oh, to feel the power of those words as it may apply to us, that it is by the grace of God I am what I am. So the blessing of the Lord that makes us what we are through free and sovereign grace. But now, secondly, we will consider the blessing of the Lord that brings about that saving work in redemption. For we must be redeemed through precious blood. That alone can pay the ransom price. And what a price it is to save our souls from our lost condition. Yet blood should be shed. The sending of the dear Son of God into the world, that it may be declared by the forerunner of our Lord and Saviour, by the friend of the bridegroom who stood and looked on, and who exhorted his followers by pointing out the glorious one who must increase. And John, realizing that his purpose was accomplished, when he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He that had been appointed to this work, to take our Lord and Saviour through the waters of baptism, that would depict a baptism that our Lord and Saviour would pass through, a baptism to be baptized with, a baptism of suffering on account of his own dear people, that he may then be crucified and taken down from the cross and laid in the grave, that we may know what it is to be buried with him in baptism. That a baptism wherein we die wholly to ourselves, but have the glorious hope and knowledge that we are raised through him, and raised as those that are granted that righteousness. We possess it by imputation. It is a righteousness that we cannot ourselves create, but it is a righteousness which our Lord and Saviour has performed and obtained by his own merits, by that obedience, that perfect obedience. Now, to be a follower therefore of him, brought by the cords of a man, the bands of love, that we may run after him. The spells knew the importance of that drawing. Draw me, we will run after thee. Yes, draw me, the spells, the church. This is the longing of the church, the household of faith, that she may be drawn, and then we, every member, every particular individual whom the Lord singles out, so they will then run. Yes, they will run. Oh, what a blessing, therefore, if we be made to run. We may sometimes feel that we halt, as it were. We stumble, we're ready to fall. But he lifts up, he helps on, he encourages, he brings us into the knowledge that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. By my Spirit that we may be built up upon our most holy faith, by that Spirit that we might be sanctified and be made acceptable in and through the Beloved. So the blessing of the Lord, all these blessings therefore that make us rich, that we may stand justified through our Lord and Saviour. And therefore it is he that declares, "Father, I will," that this poor sinner, as much as he may have been a sinner, yet I've washed him in that precious sin-atoning blood, and have granted that a robe whereby he may approach unto thee. Most Holy Father, we are now seen in the beloved Son, and the Father is well pleased. He was well pleased with his Son because he accomplished that work which he gave him to do. And now those that are bound up in the bundle of life, what a bundle it is. Some crooked sticks are found in that bundle, but straightened out by free, merciful grace. And the apostle in writing, I think it is, to those Corinthians, says, "Ye are not straightened. You're straightened in your bowels. You're straightened in your bowels that ye may therefore be made willing to be followers of him." Well, who can straighten then that which is crooked? We are but crooked, but through him we may know that straightening, the straightening, a work of the Spirit. And the word itself, as the word is testified, and we are brought first of all to know that we have come short of it, but then to know that we, through the work of our Lord and Saviour, are conformed. Well, to be conformed as he has purposed, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. So we are then as children of a king. That was what I think it was made the sons of Gideon to be different. It was observed by those who would take and slay them that they were children of a king. Now, though we may be accounted for the slaughter, yet this is the blessing that the Lord redeems his own dear sheep, as the glorious and blessed shepherd, to watch over them, to gather them, to bring them into the fold, to secure them there, and to watch over them day by day, morning by morning, that he might keep it. Keep them, preserve them. And unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Well, what a blessing it is then. The blessing of the Lord. It is the blessing of the Lord that he may grant you that blessing of adoption, that we are therefore as adopted, or to use another expression, grafted into the vine, so that we may be fruitful. Well then, are we fruitful branches? Sometimes it needs the heavenly husbandman to purge our branch, to cut away all that is of the flesh, painful work, what we thought might be flourishing, he cuts away. He will not have that which only shows that shows the evidence of leaf. It must be fruit. There must be fruit. Well, the blessing of the Lord. It is the blessing of the Lord to lay us bare, the blessing of the Lord to bring us down to nothingness, the blessing of the Lord that makes us realize that we can do nothing without him. Without me, ye can do nothing. Well, then, the blessing of the Lord, it prepares for what the Lord has laid up for his people. It prepares an inheritance. That inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. An inheritance which is a heavenly one. And therefore, we are travelling home to God in the way the saints have trod. And they had their besetments, their trials, their troubles, but the Lord would prepare for them that inheritance. And so, as being children, so we shall obtain. Well, this is the blessing. We obtain these things through Christ. He was for us entered. He has for us entered on a number of accounts, but I must be brief, else my time will go. He has for us entered that we may approach unto God. For there he presents himself as the one offering. The children of Israel, there in the wilderness, they brought their offerings, which the priest took and offered up on their behalf. We have no such offering to bring. Not the labor of our hands can fulfill the Lord's demands. But we have an offering to plead. We have an offering because he laid down his life. But we have a lively offering because he took that again. And therefore, he, as our great high priest, can present our case. So he has made a way of access unto the Father through all that he has done, so that we may plead, seeking forgiveness, confessing our sins, and pleading pardon through that precious blood that was shed. And so we find that the blessing of the Lord in making this way of access, that he that entered for us, it is that he may bring us at last where he is. The glorious ascension into heaven is the consolation of the believer, that they, when time is ended for them, whenever that may be, that some, it may be in youth, with others in old age, and all the ages that may fall between, when the work of grace is done, then we shall have access into heaven itself. The glorious gates are opened to receive the pilgrim. Oh, how amazing this is. But then, is not the blessing of the Lord an amazing thing? It's an amazing thing. We who deserve not the least favour, yet receive abundant favour. For now the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The very nature of these blessings, they are lively blessings. That is, that they give life, they maintain life, and they bring the increase of life. If we do not increase, as it were, in the knowledge and the grace of God, then we may question. We may question where we are, or that it might bring a gracious exercise, so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. The blessings of God, we will use it now in the plural, for there are many blessings that flow forth from Calvary. There are many blessings that flow forth from the fact that we are chosen in Him. Many blessings from the fact that we are brought, that we are adopted as children. Oh, many blessings, and these make us rich. There is the blessing. Perhaps we can speak of this as making rich. That is the work of the sanctifying grace, the Spirit working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, so we may be enriched in the goodness of God, enriched with that willingness, enriched with that grace, that favour, which then gives us the more grace. Oh, how we need more grace continually. Well, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. There is enlargement. There is that which we now may see. When the eyes are opened, what is then the richness known? One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. What did the dear man see? Well, he saw doubtless many things, but he saw the one whom the Pharisees were cast out and cast away. He is able to testify of this man. Has there ever been one who has opened the eyes of a man who was blind from his birth? He could see it was a miracle, and God only performs miracles. So he came to know. He knew in part when he stated those words to the opposers of the healer, of the blessed physician. He was able to give them answer better than perhaps all the learned ones. He was able to declare what God had done. And you know, this is where we shall be enriched. Rich, made rich, even in the declaring of those things. I sometimes have to mourn my backwardness in declaring what the Lord has done for my poor never dying soul. Sometimes I find that there is the lack of being able to remember some of those things, and the devil will say, well, you never had them. But then we prove at times that those things, they may flood back into our minds. The gracious Spirit being our remembrancer. Oh, we may perhaps give credence to the flesh if we can so easily remember some of these things. Not that I would despise, I would be thankful. If you can remember those the blessings that you have had in their detail, you can't lose them. You can't lose them. No, but if only they, you could bring them, as it were, to the forefront of your mind. But it seems sometimes that as the waters that ran in the wells that Isaac sought to dig or redig, that Abraham had dug, and no sooner had he done it when the Gerites came and filled them up with all the rubbish that they could find. And that's how it sometimes is in spiritual experience. Oh, we would desire the springing up of those waters. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Yes, when it springs up, then we can. But let me return to this man, this blind man. The man answered, why, herein is a marvellous thing, and ye know not from whence he, this Jesus, is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? And then we come down to this, that Jesus sought him out, and he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Then there was the truth seen in that man, as it is expressed in the prophecy. Then I had another word come to me. I think it is in the prophecy of Hosea, where we read of those that went on to know the Lord, then shall they know. Yes, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his goings forth is prepared as the morning, and we shall come on and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. How we may yearn for the former and the latter rains, that they may bring us the riches of all that he is. We often prove it's little by little, but nonetheless, there is the teaching and that going on. Well, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. There's a richness, therefore, as the Lord makes us ready. He prepares our heart and our very minds unto those things. It is the blessings of faith. There is the gift of faith. And there is the fruit of faith. The gift of faith is the blessing. The fruit of faith is the riches of it. And the fruit of faith is seen when there are those works may manifest. James says, one may say that I have faith. And he says, show me thy faith by thy works. Now, we're not saved by works, not by legal works, we know. Oh, we've tried to obtain salvation by that means. No, it is to be brought to trust alone in the merits and favour and grace of our Lord and Saviour. But if we believe, do you believe the promise? Abraham did. Therefore, Abraham, he obeyed God. There we see the fruit of faith, obedience. We would not obey before because we did not believe. But now believing. Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he knew therefore the blessing of the Lord. In blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thee. And so Abraham waited. That is a rich fruit that the Spirit gives. The grace to wait. And there is the exhortation that the psalmist speaks to his own soul. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for thine expectation is of him. Well, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich. But now I must come very briefly to the last part, and he addeth no sorrow with it. He addeth no sorrow with it. What about the trials that we have? What about the sorrows that we have to bear? What about the afflictions we may pass through? How do we view these things? Are they not sent for a purpose? Is there not a cause? Is there not even a blessing in it? There are no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, it bringeth forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. When we therefore have to pass through deep waters, it's not God adding sorrow to these things that we obtain through mercy and grace. Let me make another illustration. When the trier of the gold or the refiner of silver takes what may be considered as a stone from the ground, yet it bears the evidences that there is the true vein of gold that runs through it, but it must be put into the fire. It must be have the dross to be consumed. So the trier, in doing that, is not adding sorrow. The ungodly will know the adding of sorrow. They will have their troubles, and what is added? Bitterness. enmity grows up. They therefore are brought to resent the God who is over all. But the child of God is brought to know that these things, they work for his good. They're brought to bless the Lord for his chastening as much as for those tokens for good, as much for the promise. There is the promise, there is then the fulfilling of it. But it is through much tribulation. It is through much tribulation that you enter into the kingdom. But is there sorrow at the end of it? If we receive the kingdom, oh, it's glory. It's glory, it's blessing. And so with every trial that you go through, can you look back and say, well, I will not have anything altered. I can see now that the Lord was in it. I can see his purpose. He was ripening the fruit. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Yes, these things. He doesn't add a sorrow with it. Though we may pass through the path of sorrow, yet it's not added as though we now have that increase of sorrow which we can never be delivered from. No. The sorrows that we may know. Yes, the sorrows of the way. Yet, where do they bring us? Well, it brings us to look for those deliverances that will make the whole to be sweet. And yes, the Lord sweetens every cup. We may come and ask the question with the hymn writer, must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woes, such soul-perplexing fear? Is this the lot we must expect? Are these the trials, the troubles of God's elect? But how does it go on? How harsh soe'er the way, dear Saviour, still lead on. Nor leave us till we say, Father, thy will be done. At most we do but taste the cup, for thou alone hast drunk it up. He addeth no sorrow with it. Let me just very briefly set before you our Lord and Saviour. When at that supper that he instituted, often called the Last Supper, he said, with great desire do I drink this cup. And I shall not drink it new until I drink. I shall not drink it till I drink it new in my kingdom. Ah, the travail of his soul. Think of it. That was his joy. That would turn to his joy. It was not sorrow. It was joy. And so he shall look upon the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So, when we pass through these things, we enter a little into what Christ suffered for us. We shall find here is holy, heavenly satisfaction. And if we drink a little of that cup, of sorrow, yet it must be joy. Sorrow is but for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. So shall guilty man complain, shall sin for dust repine, and what is all our pain, how light compared with thine? Finish, dear Lord, what is begun. Choose thou the way, and still lead on. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening at 7:30. Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Adrian Pickett on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 741. I no more at Mary wonder, dropping tears upon the grave, earnest asking all around her, where is he that died to save? Hymn 741.
The grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.